Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio. Oh man, I just butchered that. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the user.
Yes, the user.
Well, I mean, yeah. We're all users nowadays. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Users of everything that's available in our hands. And sometimes not in our hands. You know? I don't know. Did that make sense?
I like how open-ended that is, you know.
I mean, you know.
Guys are perverts.
I wasn't even thinking of it like that. Whoa. Well, since you put it that way, I mean, you're not wrong.
All right.
I mean, yeah, he's not wrong.
Wow, this show has started out fantastic.
So, how was y'all's week?
Oh, shit. Just to give a heads up, I've been seeing a lot of lightning strike outside, so if my power cuts off, that means continue on.
Oh, jeez.
Freaking flash flood warning.
If it's getting close to you.
Yeah, we're all within a couple of square miles of each other, so it's like...
Yeah.
It could hit any of us at any moment. It has been a very rainy... And it's like that dreary, miserable kind of rain couple of days where it's like dark and gray. And it's just like, fuck this depressing type weather. Like, I don't mind the rain when it's like, you know, there's a difference in like happy rain and dreary rain, you know? And it's been like that dreary, just dragging on. The last couple of days, it felt like 4 days in one, you know? Just like fucking hell. I did get out of the house today for a little bit, took the kids to lunch, and had to go to the wonderful world of Walmart, because as much as I hate that place, sometimes there's things you need to get there that you just can't get anywhere else for their prices. So, you know.
True.
So, other than that, that's about all I did. Well, the week was okay. Otherwise, typical work week. I know poor Long at his company, they made him work his butt off yesterday.
Yeah.
I hate when they put you on a truck. It's like, and they don't even give you anything for it. They at least give you like a Olive Garden gift
card. Or bonuses? They no. like just, they no. And they make you do it? You can't say no?
No.
Man. That's messed up. I'd be like.
I wish we were unionized. Then I could.
I'd be like, hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
That's not my job description.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's not my job description. Start wearing like a full suit to work every day. Then they'll think twice about sending you.
There you go. I can't work in this.
Yeah. I can't work in
this. Are you
going to
pay for my $70 suit for a suit part or something?
Yeah. Man,
I used Uncle Joe Biden's stimulus to spend $200 on a suit. So
nice, man. Was that the one you sent us a picture in?
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyways, let's not talk about work. Fuck them. I hope they get unionized one day.
One of these days.
Yeah. And then there's Matt with his new job, trying to stay awake through it all.
I got good at it. It's the problem is now on my off days, trying to go to sleep at a regular time.
Yep.
I'm just wide awake. I didn't go to bed last night until like 2 a.m. So, yeah. Fun.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, it feels like this is that time of the year that, you know, my son finished his first baseball season this week, and it was fun. And, you know, school's almost out. It's like in Texas, we're dreading the upcoming heat that's coming. But yet at the same time, we look forward to the summer because, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just something about summertime. It gives you a sense of, like, you know, vacations are coming, you know, good times usually, you know, a lot of good memories made this summer. So I guess there's good about it, you know, and school ending and then beginning again. So, you know, it'll all be happening soon, and it'll be hot as fuck. But with that note, that's all I got to say to intro the show this week. Let's get into the show, I guess, man. Download this, where we always talk about what we've watched, streamed, and we admittedly been a little slow lately as COVID just continues to hit the releases of movies. There's not a whole lot to watch, but things are starting to come around. You know, there's been some new stuff on HBO Max and Netflix, and Amazon Prime's got the new Tom Clancy movie out, which I want to try to watch at some point this week. So there are things that are starting to come. I didn't watch a whole lot this week, but I did watch, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it too, but I did watch Mortal Kombat.
I watched it.
And did you get a chance to watch it long?
What?
Mortal Kombat?
No.
So
I haven't.
Well, I guess since we'll start off with Mortal Kombat, then we can talk about some of the stuff y'all watched. And I just didn't like it very much. I mean, you know, I get it. It's a low-budget film, but at least hire some people that can act. The acting in it's pretty bad.
Hey, you get your hands off her.
Your damn hands off her.
The biggest problem is the storyline. Well, you have 35 years of history of Mortal Kombat. Why in the fuck would you write a story about a made-up character, some UFC fighter who's wooded as could be actor, and why? Why? There's no need to make up a character. That character could have been Johnny Cage or Liu Kang or anyone. It's why? Yeah. Who in the writing room thought that was a good idea?
Maybe they saw Deadpool 2 and liked him.
Oh, no, he's terrible. The movie starts...
I don't even know who he is.
The movie starts out good. The first 8 minutes are great, and then the last 2 minutes are great. And
he's Shatterstar.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, the first 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes, you have Joel Taslim, and I can't think of the actor who plays Scorpion, but no disrespect to him. But you have two guys who are world-renowned martial artists and are good at what they do. And I think that's why the opening scene and the ending of the scene, any movie of the movie work, is because those two guys. But then not only that, you do have two guys who are renowned martial artists, and the fight scenes are still kind of eh. I see people online going, oh, these fight scenes are badass. This is so cool. What movies are y'all watching that make you think these are so badass? They're run of the mill. There's nothing spectacular about them.
Fucking normal.
Yeah. And then, don't even get me started on all the video game lines in it. It's like they try so hard to make you notice that we're saying fatality. It doesn't come across as natural or anything. It's like it's so in your face that it's and people are trying to forgive this movie saying it's so bad it's good. No, it's not a great movie. It's not. I put it somewhere along the line of like the G.I. Joe flicks. No, they're not great movies, but they're guilty pleasures. I'll give Mortal Kombat that. It could be a guilty pleasure flick, but it's not any better than the 95 movie. It's about on par with that. I'll let you talk about Matt, because you watched it too.
Yeah, so not only did I watch this movie, I watched the 95 version right after it because I wanted to see if it was better, because we have a friend of the show, fellow podcaster Justin, who was just like, oh, the movie was awesome. It's the best Mortal Kombat movie. And I was like, oh, man, maybe it's pretty good. But then I saw like the other mixed reviews and I'm like, is it the best Mortal Kombat film out there? And I will say the beginning martial arts scene, like Mark said, and the ending.
Yeah, it starts out great.
Are great and probably better than most of the fights in the original. But the middle is where you lose your luster, and like all of the 95 Mortal Kombat movie, it has better martial arts fighting scenes in the middle.
But
for that versus in the middle.
But they're mostly training scenes for a tournament that never happens. There's no
for a tournament. That
are you going to have some Mortal Kombat in your Mortal Kombat movie? No, you're not. It's like, what? I mean, I know I might have just put this spoiler territory there, but
that makes it, that makes me even less wanting to.
There's no Mortal Kombat in your Mortal Kombat movie.
It's basically like, they're like, okay, we're going to have a Mortal Kombat, but we need to kill them before we actually start the tournament. So let's all just gang fight, all together.
Let's not forget, let's have Raiden and Shang Tsung make up a bunch of rules as they go along as to why this can happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just like...
Well, I'm glad that Godzilla vs. Kong.
A much more entertaining film for sure. I really wanted to like this. I wanted it to be good, and I just can't give it my seal of approval. I'll give Joel Tasling props because he's a hell of a cool actor, and I'd like to see him get more American roles. Like I've talked before about The Night Comes for Us on Netflix. He's so badass in that movie, and that was a huge thunder.
Yeah, it's coming down over here too.
So, you know, just disappointed that Mortal Kombat wasn't better. And like I said, I get it. It's a $55 million movie, low budget. But, man, I've seen low budget movies that look that are better than that, with that are well acted and decent stories. You know, hell.
The Raid.
Huh? Yeah, The Raid.
The Raid.
I mean, shit. The Hurt Locker only costs like $45 million to make in one Best Picture. I mean, you know, it's like, come on. So it could be done.
Enter the Dragon. Yeah,
I could forgive it if the martial arts scenes were better.
Right.
It's like if it was, you know, okay, yeah, the acting's not great, but man, there's some multiple damn good fighting scenes in there. You just didn't get that, you know, except for like two.
And then everyone thought Kano was so funny. I really didn't find him that funny. Maybe one or two lines. I found him mostly annoying. You know, I wanted someone to wipe this smug smirk off his fucking face, you know?
And people saying that he carried the
film.
Like, no, he didn't. I mean, he was just kind of
just the there. Accent.
Yeah. He was just kind of there for.
He had a good accent. I guess I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But, the original Kano was just as good.
The costumes were good. I give him that.
Yeah.
The production value for a $55 million film was fine. You know, I don't think it looked bad or anything. It could have been so much better. Give me 200 pages, write a script, I probably could have written a better Mortal Kombat movie. I mean, that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Bring on John Wick 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For real, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's next on the HBO Max slate as far as stuff we would watch. Maybe nothing till Suicide Squad comes out in August. Who knows? Oh, Space Jam's coming out. But yeah, I'm not sure what's next on their slate.
Hopefully that's a step up.
Yeah, hopefully.
Low bar that.
There's no bunny boobs, you know, in that movie. So I don't know. I'm probably going to hard pass.
But yeah, just disappointed in Mortal Kombat. I mean, if I was to rate it, I don't know if I can give it higher than a C+, you know. And that might be being generous to it. I just was hoping for better. And like I said, I could see it being a guilty pleasure flick, but yeah, nothing. You're not missing nothing if you don't watch it.
Right.
So, did you watch anything you guys checked out besides Matt Mortal Kombat or Long? Get time to watch anything this week?
I you had mentioned Clockwork Orange the other day, Mark, and someone else had mentioned it, and I was like, I gotta watch this film. I gotta watch Clockwork Orange.
I mean, but really,
it's fucked up, man. The film is fucked up.
Oh, you've never seen it?
I've never seen it. It's like the dude is, is raping women, multiple times, and you know, in the movie. Well, no, the first time. No, in the beginning he does. And
that's why there was a controversy of why they had a cameo in Space Jam trailer.
A cameo like of who?
That gang.
You're serious?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They're in there with their hats and their white long johns, I guess. I forget what they
drinking
were
milk. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, dude. And
they're in the background.
I will say, to keep it concise, I will say it's a cerebral film. It's not a visual awesome film. It's a mind fuck, you know.
Nihilistic.
Yes. And it's about, you know, conforming him to society, and you know, trying to give you everything trying to give him everything, you know, to succeed on top of conforming him. I mean, I can see why people say it's a good film. I'll give Stanley Kubrick that. You know, it's a good film. It's not my cup of tea, but it's a, you know, for what he was going for. It seems like a pretty good film. I wouldn't go as to say it's the best film ever. Like I think Mark, you said one of your friends said it was the best film ever, and I think you've got to be pretty off And I feel like I'm pretty off. But you've got to be very off if you think that's, you know.
Wow, how would you score it?
It's, I would say, 8 out of 10. I would say it's a B+ for me. You know, but yeah, there are people out there that are like, oh man, I got to watch it over and over and over again. For me, it's a 1 or 2 time watch, you know, and that's probably it. Maybe 2 times to notice, maybe get some of the things that you didn't, you know, catch on before, some Space Odyssey 2001 references. But yeah, watched that, and I watched Gone in 60 Seconds again, because I was just like, we're talking cars. I was like, I want to see a car movie. Still 50 cars.
And just stop right there.
Yeah. Was there anything? I don't think there was anything else. I feel like I watched something else, but I can't remember. Oh, I've been playing the Xbox Series X. That's been cool.
Good for you. Yeah. You need to buy it. You need to buy a computer that works, but yet you go buy Xbox.
That's a computer.
Not really.
It's Microsoft, baby.
It's not a computer.
I didn't do... I was too busy watching my fish die on me the whole last week, and I'm pretty depressed. Yeah, but, you know, some of the major fish that did survive were surprising. They came down with white spot disease and they started dying, except for the more hardy ones. So, yeah.
Man.
Anyways, enough about that. That's kind of a downer.
If you want to shoot your load into your fish tank, they want to get. Never mind. That was a terrible joke.
Shut up, Mark. Anyways, you should relate, Mark. Your fish died too during the winter storm.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
well, he put a lot of work.
He spent $50 on fish.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, man, and all that time.
I'm not discounting it, man. I'm just saying. I'm like, you know, it's a fish.
All the effort. Yeah. It's all the effort, man. So,
moving on.
Well,
I did fuck off or whatever.
So basically, you just watched porn this week.
No. Yeah, I did. Everyone watches porn.
This is true.
Yep. Food porn. Porn. It's all porn.
Hell, I'm watching porn as we're talking right
that's
now.
That's just weird.
Want to see a
we can't even. We can't tell if he even had pants on, man. But.
Oh man.
But you do have a rebel. You do have a rebel Star Wars Rebel shirt on, which before we get. Before we get into the feature of the show, it just reminded me.
It's not Imperial.
It's okay, because we're the Rebel Radio Podcast. And
I feel tainted.
The show was officially born 7 years ago this week. So, kind of an anniversary. We're going to do some anniversary stuff on the 250th episode here in a few weeks. Look back at 7 years of the show a little bit. So, but just have to note our birthday this week, 2014. I think the first episode was officially released like May 5th. Dear God, don't go back and listen to those if you're listening to the show, because they're terrible.
You
know?
Yeah.
We had no idea what we were doing, but we still want to note our milestone, but don't listen to them. We plead with you. No.
Please don't. Do you remember when?
The official version of the show that you listen to now started with episode 81. So if you want to start somewhere, start then. Those first, not that there's bad episodes, there's some good episodes in the first 80. I'd say probably around 25, 26, we found our footing. Those first 20 episodes or so are kind of rough at times. But, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere.
For real.
And so I just wanted to note our 7th anniversary. So it's kind of amazing that it's been 7 years. So, and like I said, we'll look back on that here in a few weeks in our 250th milestone episode. We'll look back on 7 years of the Rebel Radio Podcast. But for now, let's get into today's featured film, which is I kind of like this movie. I know it wasn't super well received by critics, but I really enjoyed rewatching it this week, and that is Tron Legacy. We covered the original Tron about a year and a half ago, I guess, or so now. And when Disney Plus first came out, we did a couple of Disney Plus movies that month, and Tron was one of them. And so we decided to revisit this kind of due to the breaking up of Daft Punk a month and a half ago. And we had already had our crime month planned out, so we kind of put Tron Legacy on the back end of that. And I summarized last week. Long, man, you look like you want to give it a summary. You just have that look.
Yeah, Tron Legacy is more about Flynn's legacy, and that's about it.
You sorry motherfucker.
Well, it is. It's all about it's about Flynn
and his son and
fucking things up. No, yeah, no. It's well, just
he does fuck things up because he trusts in the system.
Too yeah, much. Yeah, yeah. Flynn's son is in search of his dad, and he goes into the grid to look for his father, and runs into Clue, who looks like his father, and gets reunited with Flynn, finds out that Flynn wanted to build the perfect system, but ended up creating a monster out of Clue, who wanted to make everything in order, perfect utopia. And basically, it's a conflict of chaos versus order.
And stopping Clue from going to the real world.
Yeah, stopping Clue from going into the real world, where to conquer the analog world. And yeah, so they ended up stopping him, and Olivia Wilde's hot. And
yeah, she is.
Great score, by the way. This score by Daft Punk is better than any freaking score that what's his name, Junkie XL.
I knew you were gonna mention that. But I didn't even realize when we were doing this movie, I have had Olivia Wilde as Cora, not my lock screen, but my app screen. She's been my background for a while, and I completely forgot because I'm so used to her being there. I'm like, oh yeah, she's my unlock screen on my phone. And
that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I saw this movie in theaters, and I actually saw it in 3D. And it wasn't entirely formatted in 3D. It was one of those movies where certain scenes were.
Where certain
scenes were in 3D. But I remember the 3D be very good on it when I saw it, and you know, they put the little icon on the screen. You had to put your glasses on, and but I also think that the first time I saw it, the 3D kind of took me out of the movie a little bit, and I didn't enjoy it as much as I could. And then when I rewatched this, I was like, man, this is actually a pretty entertaining movie. And it visually, the movie is stunning, I think. Even for 2000, now 11 years old, and it came out in 2010. And it's still, like, it's impressive. This has some great special effects in it. They're very well done. And I'm sitting here trying to look for parts that look fake or look off, and it doesn't. This is a very good-looking film, special effects-wise. Even in the Star Wars film, sometimes you can notice that things look a little off, you know what I mean? But this movie is remarkably looks really well. The only part that doesn't look well is the de-aging technology they used on Clue. It looks a little fake and a little cringeworthy. But the rest of the movie is fantastic, visually.
Wasn't it the first time they
de-aged? It was one of the first movies, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, you're gonna get some bugs, I guess, but yeah, like you said, that's the only part that visually, you know, maybe could have used a little bit more work. But hey, de-aging's gone so much better.
And I think that's why you forgive it, and because as you get further into the movie, you get caught up with the rest of the visuals and the story. That I think about halfway through, I'd even notice Clue anymore. It's just the first part of the movie; it's real noticeable.
Yeah,
I just chalk it up as the way that the grid makes people look. So
I forgot Clue. Oh, that's the other movie I watched. I watched Tron, and I forgot that Clue was in the first Tron. I completely forgot. He's the program. He doesn't show up for the rest of the film, but he's in the beginning. It's Jeff Bridges' program that gets caught. Trying to get into the locked files of the master program, master control. And I was like, holy crap, you know, I was like, Clue is in this one. I was like, how did I miss that? So that was cool. Seeing that they, you know, there's a few characters tied. And then, you know, of course, Tron is back in this one. And
I actually liked the twist with Tron in this. I thought it was kind of cool how they told a backstory of Flynn and Tron and Clue trying to create the system, everything before Clue turns on him and he doesn't see what happened to Tron. And it turns out Tron becomes a minion for, you know, Clue's army. But he, his programming allows him to realize he was doing the wrong thing and ends up helping save Flynn and Sam at the end of the movie. I actually kind of like that twist in of Tron not being the main character, but yet plays a major role in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Was he? I don't know. He felt like he was in the background.
Well, he was in the background, but he ended up being a major role as far as what he did to help save Flynn and Sam.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, his name was Reznor or something like that. Or Rizzler or something. Yeah. So you found out he was Tron.
In Sessler? I don't know.
And then Jarvis is in this film.
Jarvis?
Yeah. And that's, you know, the announcer, the right hand man to Clue, one that gets killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is
Jarvis?
I'm trying to figure out the what Jarvis reference.
His name's Jarvis.
Oh, his name's Jarvis. Yeah.
Yeah.
The character.
He was kind of an odd person, huh?
Very weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like there's some things going on with like with the Jarvis character and even the bartender who seems to know a lot more, like stuff that might have been taken out of the script a little bit to explain those characters a little bit more possibly.
Yeah,
because they kind of exist in this world that you're supposed to, it feels like as an audience member, you're supposed to know why they exist in this world, but it's not really explained, you know? And yeah, a lot of movies are like that. Sometimes you have stuff that could have been cut out of the film or whatever. It's possible. I don't know. But the cool thing about the bar scene is when he goes to the bar to talk to the bar owner, and that's where we get the Daft Punk cameo where they're in the bar and they're the DJs and everything. And I thought that was really cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They fit the
theme. Yeah, and they score the entire film and they do a fantastic job with the score. It is really good. Definitely atmospheric. It fits the movie well.
Has some melodies thrown in here and there.
I really noticed like the light cycle battle that is scored so awesomely. You know, it's just really well done. I remember as a kid, the original Tron playing the old light cycle arcade game, and like I was never very good at it. You crash them all the time, and then this movie gives us a really awesome version of the light cycles. You know, it vastly improved on the original film. But that was the whole idea behind the legacy sequel, and then it's you want improvement on what you got from the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how he hit the combat scenes whenever he's training with the disc, and he's learning how to use them, and that first person he realizes he can break the floor, and so he breaks the floor as they're landing, and they keep falling.
Yeah,
and then he goes and against the next person, he's like, no more of this, and bounces off his own disc, killing the other guy, and then going down. I was like, man, he probably could have been really good, but.
Yeah, and Garrett Hudlin plays the young Sam, and you know, he was he's one of those young actors that Hollywood seemed to be trying to turn into the next big thing at times, but he hasn't had that big hit, but he's not a great actor. He kind of plays that typical, look at me, I'm the handsome guy on set. And he kind of, you know, but he does okay with what he has to work with. You know, there's a lot of these kind of sci-fi movies like this have a lot of exposition dialogue. That's as an actor probably doesn't make a lot of sense until the film is edited together. So, you know, I can imagine sometimes it's hard to act with that kind of stuff. I'm like, what am I saying? You know, until I actually see this on film. And this is definitely worth
not bad for a cardboard.
Yeah, but I mean, but Hedlund does all right in this movie. You know, he signed on for a couple of pictures, and you know, they're Disney. The movie didn't make a ton of money, so there's been some talk about a third one happening, but nothing concrete. There's a lot of theories about the end of the film. Of course, we didn't even talk about Olivia Wilde. Her character plays Cora, and she's a isotope? Is that what they call it?
And she's
like a living, basically a living program in a lot of ways. Yeah. And they're not supposed to exist in the real world, but Flynn was hoping to find a way to use them to help cure diseases and help economies and things like that with the use of them. And so somehow at the end of the film, she's regenerated and she helped save the day, and she's able to escape into the real world with Flynn, with Sam. But there's no explanation as to why she's alive in the real world. And there's a lot of fan theory that when Flynn destroys the computer world at the end, that he reprograms it, and that Sam and Cora are actually in the perfect system. Because you notice when they come out of the arcade, other than Alan, there's no one around. There's no cars. There's nothing, even when they're driving. So that's a fan. That's a fan theory that when Sam and Cora are in the real world or in the perfect system, they're actually not in the real world yet. They're just in the new system. So that's been a fan. Been a fan theory that's been out there. I was reading.
I hope it's not real.
That would be trippy.
That would be trippy if they ever make the third one, And there's been some movement on it at Disney, and there's been some talks. The director of this one, he has said that, he's had some talks with Disney about it possibly getting made. And Disney Plus is allowing for a lot more stuff to open up, and maybe things get made if they don't necessarily go to theaters, they can go to Disney Plus. So maybe we'll get another Tron film in the future. I like this world. I think it's a cool world, and I would like to see more. Problem with you wait too long in these legacy scenes. It's been 11 years since this one. Garrett Hudlin, Olivia Wilde, Jeff Bridges are all going to get much older. It's like, how do you keep bringing these guys back to make more sequels, when you wait too long?
But yeah, didn't Jeff Bridges' character die?
It's alluded to that he could have died whenever he destroyed the system. Yeah. But, it depends if he reprogrammed himself at that point, So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we could see. But, I think this film is better than people give it credit for. I actually really enjoyed rewatching it. Visually, I think it's, like I said, I think it's outstanding, it looks really fucking great on Blu-ray. I was watching on Blu-ray, and I was like, wow, this movie really looks good on my 4K television, I really like the light cycle scene. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. I think that was really cool.
That could be said for the first movie, huh?
That was cool, too. And I like some of the new stuff they added. It's like the flying vehicles. When they jump out and they have flying vehicles, I thought that was cool, too.
That was fun.
I don't know what version y'all watched it, but like on the Blu-ray, some of this was shot in IMAX, so similar to The Dark Knight, where the black bars would disappear on your screen. They'd fill up your whole television for certain scenes and stuff.
I watched it on Blu-ray, and... Yeah, that's the thing about Disney. Disney home releases, they do a really good job with their HD transfers.
Yeah. Because, I've noticed a difference, too. Like, streaming is nice. You're wrong, it's convenient. But I think that even 4K streaming, to me, isn't always... Even to me, it's not as sharp sometimes as Blu-rays. There are Blu-rays that look sharper because they're playing off the disc than playing off of a digital stream, because sometimes a digital stream doesn't keep up with the quality, And it just depends how busy the servers are at times. Because I know sometimes I'll watch some of them on Vudu, it will look really, really sharp, and other times it's a little less sharp. So, it just depends on their servers, I suppose. But I don't know, man. I give this movie, what do you guys give this movie?
I'd say it's a B+, A- kind of thing. I think that, like you said, if you're looking for something that's wrong with it, it's maybe a little less backstory on a few characters, and maybe some forgivable de-aging. But everything else, it's got everything else: a great score, great graphics, good fight scenes, good action. So I think it's definitely B+, A-.
Yeah, I say it's a B+.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty solid B+, A- fair, because, like you said, if one thing holds it back, it's a bit of the tech, the de-aging tech, and a bit. It's not a hard story to follow, but it's a bit sciencey, convoluted like story. So that might take some people out of it. It tries to be a little bit smarter than it needs to be. Maybe that's fair to say. But overall, though, it's still a fun ride, enjoyable, and we all agree that Olivia Wilde's extremely hot in this movie.
Yes.
Scorching.
Sizzle. So on that note, You know, legacy sequels have become a popular thing now. Tron Legacy was one of the first major releases, and I don't know if the term legacy sequel officially came from the title of this movie, but I'm guessing that's a good possibility. And now we've had, you know, legacy sequels of, you know, Bill and Ted and Mad Max, and, you know, it's become a thing, and there's still more to come, you know. So I thought we would look back and pick five movies for our top five this week of movies we wish we had gotten a legacy sequel to or could get to that have not been done before. Who wants to start us off this week?
I'll go. So I know we got a sequel, but I want a legacy sequel to the first Speed, because that second one was bullshit, and we need an actual sequel where Jack is like a senior detective and there's a copycat terrorist making bombs on vehicles.
Dennis Hopper's son.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper's son, you know. Or even you know, if they didn't want to be super predictable, someone that idolized him or something like that, yeah. You know. Maybe Jeff Daniels' character's son, you know. Like, make this like emotional twist. That would be pretty cool.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, my number five is I wish there was another installment of The Naked Gun.
There we go.
Yeah.
We could do that.
It's been, what, 20 plus years now?
Is Leslie Nielsen still alive? I didn't think he was.
He's passed away.
Yeah. Maybe Steve Martin to take his place.
No, too obvious.
Too obvious.
It has to be a dramatic actor to be in that lead role.
Nah, yeah. No, I am.
Because Leslie Nielsen started out as a dramatic actor, so.
That's true.
At number five, I know we had a couple of sequels to this, but.
I'm always in the middle. Why the fuck am I always in the middle?
I don't know. You didn't have to be in the middle. You could have told me to go next.
You like being the filling in our top five sandwich.
Now you just had to make it weird, Matt.
Yep.
Shut up.
At my number five, I picked a movie that did have a couple sequels to it, but Robert Rodriguez has talked about before possibly doing another El Mariachi film where we revisit the Mariachi years later and where he's been. And I think that would be cool, you know, and as long as it's better than Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I didn't hate that movie, but it just felt like I wanted so much more, you know, than I got from it. So maybe one day Robert Rodriguez will revisit that character.
One of these days. Number four, I'm sure Mark has this on his list, but I have it on here now. Buckaroo Banzai. I think we need a legacy sequel to Buckaroo.
I'm not going to comment yet on that.
Yep.
Number four, I think I could see this being a legacy thing because fans have been asking. It's a little recent, but Alita Battle Angel.
That's not a legacy sequel, though. It just came out.
That'd be what, 5 years later?
Like, not even five, like two.
Two? Was it 2019?
2 years too long.
Yeah.
2 years too long.
Yeah. Cheater.
I don't know.
At number four, this could be interesting. Hear me out on this. A sequel, you're talking almost 50 years later. He's getting old. You'd have to... But a sequel to the Man with No Name trilogy. Can you imagine Clint Eastwood coming back as Blondie and digging up the gold years later from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Jeez. Don't you?
I mean,
60 years,
yeah.
You mean?
Is it 50 almost 50 or 60 years, yeah. I mean, it's never going to happen. This is a total wishful thinking thing. But you really dig your mind and think about how cool that would have been. If they had made this movie in like 1980 when Lee Van Cleef and Eli Wallach were still alive. You know, think about it, you know. I mean, well, Lee Van Cleef's character died at the end, but Eli Wallach could have been in it. It could have been really cool.
I think that could work.
It could have been really cool.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. Remember, they buried the gold, so, you know, you could always come back and get the gold. So.
Number three, Inception. So we can find out what the fuck happened at the end for
Legacy
real.
Sequels Man. Mean more than 10 years old.
It's 11. Right?
Yeah, but they've been calling legacy sequels movies that are more than 20 years old usually.
Oh yeah, man.
Or 15.
Still not as bad as 2 years. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
My number three is Kill Bill, the sequel to it's been how long now since Kill Bill Volume 2?
Early 2000s,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost there.
He's talked about it, but I don't think he's ever going to do it. You know?
Yeah. You're full of shit, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I'll never watch his last movie.
I mean, honestly, I think it was for the pandemic. He probably would have already started on what he's saying is going to be his 10th and final film, but who knows? He's probably sitting writing away in the basement somewhere. He's probably got like 25 scripts around. So who knows? At number three, this is kind of an obvious pick, Flash Gordon, man. You know, I know we probably won't get a legacy sequel. We'll get a remake eventually or a reboot, but you know, the idea of a legacy sequel and bringing Sam Jones back as Flash Gordon, he's much older, could be cool. You know, even though he's too busy making money off of his Flash Gordon and Playgirl self now. You know, yes, he posed in Playgirl. People don't remember that, but you know, wow. Yeah, he's kind of a. Were you with me when we interviewed him, Matt? Briefly.
No.
Yeah, he's very into himself. Let's just put it that way. And he's enjoying making money off of his one cult hit. You know, let's just put it this way.
He was in Ted too.
You go to his table and he not only charges you for the picture, he also charges you for an autograph. Where most of the time a B-list actor like that, you usually get the autograph when you buy the photo. Not him. He's going to double charge you. So yeah. So he's a bit into himself. But I'd still watch another Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Number two, True Lies. We need a legacy sequel where Arnold is the head of, you know, whatever bureau he works for, I forget. And then, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis and him have to go after, you know, the Crimson Jihad Reborn or something like that.
I guess.
I don't know.
Movie's good as one and done, though. I never felt it needed a sequel.
Yeah.
I know Cameron talked. I think a sequel would have worked if Cameron had done it back in, like, 2001 when he was going to do it, but they decided not to because of 9/11. You know? But yeah. I feel like, you know. It's just, there's some movies that just feel like that's good enough, and that feels like that's one of them, you know?
Yeah.
But this is fantasy here, so yeah.
Yeah, fantasy. There you go.
My number two is kind of the same vein as Matt's, but I kind of want to see an expansion on the Abyss, another James Cameron movie.
Nice.
I wouldn't mind seeing a sequel to that, but we are kind of getting that in Avatar, where he's going to the ocean part of the what's the name of that
Pandora
planet that they're on? Pandora, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Abyss. As a legacy sequel.
Cool. At number two, I have stop squeaking your straw. God damn it.
Sorry, I was trying to do it quiet. Damn it.
Like a little kid, man. At number two, I know we got a sequel, which we covered on the show, and we're actually going to cover this movie on the show next month sometime. But a true legacy sequel to Predator. Always wanted to see Arnold come back and have a rematch with the ugly motherfucker. You know, yes. And I felt like we always got ripped off of that. You know, it's like, it's cool, the Danny Glover film, but why did we never get a real sequel to this? And don't tell me Arnold couldn't have made it. He could have made the damn movie back in the 90s. He just never did. And, you know, and we probably won't at this point, but, you know, I always wanted to see a true Predator sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably, a true Predator sequel, not the one that they tried to pass off as a direct sequel to the first Predator. No.
Oh, that one that came out a couple years ago? Oh, that was crap.
Yeah.
Dude, that movie.
It was crap.
God, that sucked.
So number one, I'm going to be a repeat offender. This is over 10 years. It's more like 13, 14 years. But Step Brothers. We need a Step Brothers sequel. We need to see what happens with Prestige Worldwide.
I don't want to see prosthetic ball sacks again, okay?
You know you want to. This time, someone puts their ball sack on their pirate ship that they get at the end of the movie. And they go ape shit over it and make them eat white dog shit.
Why are you sweating? I was watching Cops.
Cops isn't on until tomorrow.
I admit the movie's funny, but... once was enough.
I was inspired by Will Smith singing Por Ti Volare by Andrea Bocelli.
You know the chick that's in there that's always trying to mess with John C. Reilly? That's the Agatha from fucking Vision, WandaVision. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's also the voice of, Doc Ock.
Oh, yeah. Into the
Spider-Verse. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, those producers have a new movie on Netflix, supposedly very funny and very family-friendly. And I tried to get the kids to sit down and watch it tonight, but they were misbehaving, called The Mitchells vs. the Machines. It's gotten really good reviews, and it came out on Netflix on Friday. But they were not wanting to sit down and watch it, and I said, forget it.
Yeah. My number one is I would have liked to see a true part 3 to the Batman 89 trilogy.
You know what? I had that on my list at first, but I was like, nah, because we technically got Batman sequels. But yeah, it's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the script exists. Burton has a script somewhere in his files for a third Batman movie. So that does exist. It just never happened. It was going to be called Batman Triumphant. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think Batman Triumphant. Yeah, I think that's what I read he was going to call it. Yeah. So, it just never happened. That would have been a good one. Aren't they doing a digital comic that continues the world of Batman 89? Yeah, I want to read. Yeah. Well, I don't know when it comes out, but I want to read that. And number one, Matt tried to steal some of my thunder earlier, but yeah, I have The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Always wanted, you know, they teased the sequel at the end of the movie, but the movie, of course, wasn't a box office success, so the sequel never happened for Buckaroo Banzai against the World Crime League. And his arch nemesis, which is only mentioned by name in the movie, but we never see him. And it's coming out in book form in August 10th from the notes of the original film writer. He's doing a book sequel that's coming out. Of course, we almost got a TV series from Kevin Smith a few years ago before they realized they couldn't get the rights. But yes, I've always wanted a legacy sequel to Buckaroo Banzai. Of course, Peter Weller is almost 80 years old now. So I think you'd have to recast Buckaroo if you do that, and I'm okay with that. So maybe I'm going to hold out hope that one day I'm going to get more Buckaroo Banzai on the big screen.
One of these days.
So. Long just shakes his head because he doesn't understand my obsession with Buckaroo Banzai. I wouldn't call it an obsession. I think it's just a underappreciated cult classic.
Yeah, I believe I tried watching it as a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I didn't sit through it, though.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I am.
Because I was too dumb, too retarded at that time.
Too dumb.
Well, let's do a little bit of news then. Good top five, fellas. Not a whole lot of news, but we'll go over it a little bit. Man, this He-Man movie they've been trying to make since, hell, 98, 99. I mean, John Woo was attached to it at one point. I think even Spielberg's company was attached to it at one point. I mean, you name it. They've now lost the actor who was going to play He-Man. I don't even have his name written down because I didn't even know who the fuck he was, but he's backed out of the film now. This just feels like a cursed project that's never going to happen. And don't get me wrong, I'd love to see a big screen version of He-Man. That was really cool, but yeah, I just don't know. You know, it seems like nobody knows how to get He-Man off the ground. It's just funny how some IPs work like that. There's some IPs that come out and they work well and they get made to the big screen, and some just stay in limbo forever.
I've outgrown He-Man.
Just bring back Dolph Lundgren.
I've outgrown He-Man and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I've moved on.
I can't say that, but you know.
I can live without watching another Turtles movie. Or a He-Man movie.
That's because every time you see whole pickles, makes you feel uncomfortable. They kind of look like turtle dicks. And so you can never enjoy your pickle while eating a Turtles movie.
Is that what it is? That's weird. On that note,
I don't get the reference.
I don't really know what he's talking about either.
The reference.
On Amazon Prime, I only watched the first episode so far, but Invincible was renewed for seasons 2 and 3. So I guess that's been a hit for them based on the comic book by Robert Kirkman. So The one thing I do like about that when they announced that there's going to be a couple of more seasons is that you feel like if you watch the first one, you commit, you know you're getting more. Because the problem nowadays is sometimes with streaming, so much stuff gets canceled after one season. You're like, well, fuck, man, I like that show. So at least it gives the viewers commitment that you know you're going to get a couple more seasons. So I don't have a problem with that. And then lastly, rumor is that Adam Wingard is in talks with Legendary to continue the MonsterVerse movies. Possibly making a Son of Kong movie has been the rumor. So it seems like Warner Bros. Was happy with what he did with Kong versus Godzilla and is willing to offer him another film, it looks like. So I know this is excitement for long, for sure.
Yeah. Sounds like it's going to be a Kong entry movie, mm-hmm. which is fine. The last movie won me over for Kong as a character. So I'll be happy to look it up.
Yeah. I think it's cool, too. I mean, you know, these characters are fun to watch on the big screen, especially if done done well. And maybe a Kong entry movie while they work on the talking to Toho about allowing them to do some more films. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that in the contracts and everything for more Godzilla films, that is. So we'll see. That's all I got in the news, man. There was nothing else much going on this week. So, well, let's preview next week's film before we get out of here as we continue this family-friendly affair. And we're going to talk at one time, this was the number one film at the box office. For several years, it beat Star Wars when it came out, and it continued to be the number one film at the box office, I believe, until The Phantom Menace came out. I think The Phantom Menace is the movie that finally topped it at the box office, and that is actually the special editions might have topped it when they came out. We'll have to look that up for next week, but that is E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
He's lost. He's alone, and he's 3 million light years from home. In spring 2002, only in theaters.
I'm keeping you.
Steven Spielberg's masterpiece will come to life.
Home. Home.
For a whole new generation. Experience the mystery.
Wait, what is it?
I don't know. Something scary.
The wonder.
What's happening?
The call.
E.T. Phone home.
That started it all. With never-before-seen footage, enhanced special effects, and an all-new digitally remastered soundtrack. The extraordinary 20th Anniversary Edition. E.T. The Extraterrestrial.
I'll be right here.
Only in theaters, March 2002.
This is an all-time classic. There's no doubt about that. And, I watched this not that long ago, maybe a few months ago, and it holds up really well. The kids wanted to watch it, and they really enjoyed it, and it's been years since I had really seen it, and I'm like, this is still pretty good, you know? And it's going to be, I think, fun to look back on it and talk about it. Definitely an all-time classic from Steven Spielberg. It made Reese's Pieces a top-selling candy.
Yep.
That's the one part I always remember. Is the Reese's the trail of Reese's Pieces,
and a movie that also got a special edition, which caused some controversy. But I believe, if I remember right, on my Blu-ray, I think you can watch it without the changes. If I remember right, where they put walkie-talkies into the hands of the cops instead of guns, which is a little weird, but you know.
Oh yeah,
I think it makes more sense.
What, the walkie-talkies? I guess.
Pointing guns at kids on bikes, come on. I mean, Matt would like it, but, you know.
So, I have to look.
They were harboring a known fugitive long.
An alien. Yeah. I'll have to look when I watch on my Blu-ray. But it is on Amazon Prime, and 99% sure it's on Netflix, so people want to watch.
Hey, why is that boy carrying Matt in the basket?
A very young Drew Barrymore in this film, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's the sister, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So we'll look back next week at E.T. the Extraterrestrial on the show as we get close to 250 episodes. Pretty cool. That's it for this week. That's all I got. Thank you, as always, for listening. Go to therebelradiopodcast.com and stay safe out there and continue to do your part in the social distancing world as things are slowly starting to look up, you know, from what I've seen. Hopefully a few more months of this and things will be a little bit more normal. I mean, they're never going to ever be normal again, but at least a little bit more normal. But until then, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the master program. Master control.
Yes. Master control.
And until next week, as always, remember, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.
Or de-rezzed.